Good morning, everyone who is here with us on the live call, and good whatever time of day it is to those of you listening to the archive. And welcome to this call that is introducing, for some of you, a new year, for almost all of us, a new way of life. Welcome to being the source of love. So there's a famous quote from Gandhi that many of you have heard me share many times. We must be the change we want to see in the world. But what does that really mean? And what does that mean, not just in terms of the how-to, but what does that mean in terms of the benefit to us? Clearly, it communicates benefit to the world. But what's missing from the quote is that when we become that which we wish to have or experience, not only do we then have and experience it, but because more of whatever that is happening in the world, it is mirrored back to us by what my dear friend and teacher Chögyam Trungpa used to call a great cosmic mirror. That in fact our experience in the world is a mirror of our own consciousness. And when we choose to be the source of love and value, then all that is mirrors that back to us. This mirror can also be very devastating because it can mirror to us what is unconscious in us. And this is taking charge of the game of life, understanding that external circumstances or the plot unfoldment of our life is but a mirror of the consciousness of our character. And the hero's journey is that if we can begin, first of all, to recognize that the plot is orchestrated and changes around the responses of our character inside, then we can begin to be at cause in our experience rather than victims at the effect of the life's journey. This is the hero's journey, to take charge of our character rather than to try to manipulate plot. But I speak to this at the moment from a place of humility. This is not an easy task. It's daunting at times, and tempting almost always to want to change the plot rather than, and to change the plot line and circumstances rather than to look to our own character for how that's drawing and magnetizing the plot and circumstance experience. And so this is where exercises and activities come in, where pause to examine the mirror for what it's showing us with facilitation and help is very valuable, so that we can recognize what we are being the source of, often unconscious judgments, resentments, fears, blames, and consciously transform that into being the source of love and of whatever other core values we identify that are facets on the diamond of love. And in that expression, changing, strengthening, dignifying our character, transforming what we broadcast as radio towers of the heart, changing them what comes back to us in reflection. This is the true power to alter the course, not only of the plots and stories and circumstances of our own lives, but to truly change the course of the world. And so this is our invitation on the precipice of, for some of us at the time of the recording of this call, a new year, and for some of us at the time of the recording of this call or listening in the archives, a new world. We here at my house have been listening, watching the John Adams series.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Sharon, exploring at least one writer's rendition of what was it like when they were creating this new world, the democracy, a free nation of self-governance. We're on the precipice, certainly according to many different traditions of many different traditions of calculation and cosmology, whether you're looking at the Mayan calendar or Nostradamus or ancient Kabbalists and many other traditions, a time of transition, a time of moving from an old world to a new world, this time not defined by geography, as we're at the close of 2012 and at the entry point to 2013, not defined by an external plot line of sailing to a new land, but defined by an internal plot line of moving from living out predetermined roles, predefined lives, dictated by cultural and religious conditioning and tracks that we followed like deer walking on a previously proven path, but rather a new world defined by each one of us as we step into a new role of authoring our own lives and our own future. Being the source of love is not a dictated, preconditioned path, but rather one that you self-define. Being the source of value is one path, or less than being a path, let's say. It gives you the machete to cut your own trail. So this new world is written and authored by each one of you, each one of us. And how we choose to create the next phase of adventure for ourselves and the human family. And it begins by looking in the cosmic mirror, by seeing where are we creating consciously and where are we creating unconsciously. And so one way to do that is to create two lists on this precipice of a new time. One, a list of the things you're grateful for, the events, the circumstances, the people, the dynamics, the interactions in your life that fill and fuel you, that you spontaneously, naturally, and easily love. And the other is to create a list of things you'd like to change. We could call them triggers or things that cause reactivity in you. And that reactivity could be defined as anything that for you isn't love. Anything that robs you of quality of life or vitality. This list will perhaps provide the most insightful mirror because it's showing you where there's raw fuel for transformation to create more love, more value. But both lists are a mirror of your love. One a little more obvious, the first. The second one, the compost pile inviting you to plant seeds in your garden where you can grow the value and love you want to see in the world from that raw energy of reactivity. For the word reactivity is made up of the same letters as the word creativity, just rearranged. Being the source of love is becoming a creative contributor to the destiny of the world. Then taking our reactivity and turning it into creativity is looking the fertile soil of what's uncomfortable and stinky in our lives directly in the eye without a mask and recognizing it for what it is, which is raw material and energy for transforming into that which we most want and love in life. This list, the second list, your compost list, could also be informed by your pet peeves, the things that irk and irritate you. And the list of things that you appreciate and love can include people that you look up to and respect and admire. It can include even events and moments from history that embody the direction you hope the world goes. And we're going to do several exercises together on the call, but we're going to start with an exercise of investing energy in our love by focusing your attention in the heart, allowing the breath to come in and out gently with ease, not force. You breathe anyway, even when you're asleep. So the breath doesn't require force. It requires simply allowing. As you focus your attention on the breath, breathing in through the heart and out through the heart, and pouring your breath and your love itself into the list of things you've made that you love. Quantum physics tells us that what we put our attention on becomes what we call real or realized. That everything in existence and everything in possibility of existence lives as a wave of energy, a wave of potential energy. And by putting our attention on it, it becomes a particle. That in fact, no experiment in our lives, especially our lives being the source of love, are a grand experiment.
We can't hear you, Shiva.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. Is that better?
Yes.
Thank you for letting me know, Sharon. Where did you leave me?
We can't know something.
I'm not sure where that was.
Okay.
I think what I was saying is that our lives are a grand experiment. Especially our lives being the source of love. And we can't know the outcome of an experiment if it's a true experiment. So any experiment is influenced, now we know, thanks to quantum physics, by those conducting and observing the results of the experiment. It can't be any other way, because what you focus on and what you give your attention to is what becomes solid and real, what transforms from wave to particle. Yes, does that make sense in what you all heard?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So our exercise this morning, as we're on the precipice of a new time and a new world, is to choose consciously, to strengthen the muscle of choosing consciously, to make our love more realized, to make what we love more real, by giving that our attention and then disciplining ourselves to give that our attention. By focusing in the heart, allowing the breath, and using the breath to focus our attention in the heart and on what we love as you look at that list. And we'll take a few minutes with that. Any questions just about this first exercise?
No.
Great. from this platform of focusing attention on what you love, we know the research from the Institute of Heart Math shows us that that quiets the heart rhythm, brings it into a coherent tempo, one that focuses and harmonizes all of the rest of the body's functions, including tuning our access to our intuition. So this is a moment when you can be having established without moving from your seat, without moving from the throne of your own heart, where you can establish a kingdom of the year to come based on your love. You've made that more real by focusing on it now and also given yourself access to be able to hear past the static of stress and chaos, the GPS guidance of your heart. As to what to do. Or how to be. So give yourself that moment of intuitive listening to anything your heart would like you to know at this new beginning for you. So in a moment, we're going to look at the compost list, which is where the real gardeners that grow love get the best results. It's easy to water the flowers that are already there and clear to see the weeds to weed around them. The real task of visionaries authoring their own lives in a new time is to plant the seeds of future flowers and nourishment where it appears desolate, where there seems to be none. And that's the task that all of you will get to delight in and delight the world with. But before we turn our attention there, is there anything anyone wants to share from this first part of the exercise? Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Anything that perhaps what we could do is a short round robin, and each of you could just share one word that captures something of what you love. Tina, you want to start us off?
Shining eyes.
Don't wait for me to call on you. Just dive in.
Nature.
Soul painting. Heart.
Creativity.
God.
Loved ones, support, and cuddling.
Sparkles like inside.
Say that again, Lilla.
Sparkles inside like the sparkling snow on the outside.
And then someone else was speaking when Lilla spoke up. We lost that one.
Love itself.
So what you've each done is, if you could hear, you are all speaking from a feeling, yes? Whatever you loved, could you hear a feeling behind each other's voices?
Yes.
It wasn't soul painting or sparkles inside. Right? There was a transmission of a frequency, a wave particle. That sounds funny, a wave particle, but that's exactly what it is. There's a wave behind what you punctuate with your attention that makes it real. That feeling is the source of a quality of experience. Did anyone notice that as you generated that feeling that the world started looking different to you? Lola, you shared sparkles inside like sparkles outside on the snow. The outer world began to reflect your inner experience. Did you notice that, Lola?
Yeah, and my kitty Jolloway is sitting right here purring. She came right over.
The outer world began to respond to what you were creating on the inner world, yes? And in that, our language of outer and inner is really crude because there is no separation between the outer and the inner. They are mirrors of one another. What we think is that the sparkles on the snow happen outside first, and then we feel them inside. But it's actually, at least the quantum physics would tell us, the other way around. And even a lot of the neurobiology and emotional physiology would help us understand that it's actually feeling the sparkles on the inside that opens our eyes to see them on the outside. And so, if we just did this, if we just focused on what we love and what we appreciate, you can already see it would create a new world in our own experience. That this choice in our character would change the plot line of our lives. Now we want to focus on the compost and where we can grow more love. where we can expand the terrain of our garden of growth as characters, living plots in these times. And so I invite us to, well, actually, we can look at both lists first. And to glean from both lists the true love, the core values we love, behind the circumstances. So, a couple of examples from your list of loves to help with that. And some of you are already wheedling your way into the core of what this is. Core, of course, being a French word for heart, as well as an English word for the center of. Carol, when you wrote soul painting on your list, how does soul painting make you feel?
Oh, fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. So fulfillment, a feeling of fulfillment, could be a core value of yours. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And you could invert that process with your list of triggers and reactions. A reaction is simply pointing to a creation you wish were here. So let's look at that so that you have a way to explore the exercise. Who has an example of a reaction or a trigger, something from your second list, so we can help you find the core value loves and creation.
Well, this is Holly. I have one. I experience indignant. I become indignant sometimes with things that my husband says.
Mm-hmm. And what are the what's the nature of the things that trigger your indignation, Holly?
Well, I think I have a perception that my husband is saying some insensitive things. That's the nature of it, and then I become indignant, not so much by the thing that's said, but because I think that it's insensitive. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think he should know better, and so that's what it's about.
Yeah, beautiful. It makes perfect sense. What you're telling us is that what you value is sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that moment when someone shows up in your purview as insensitive to you is an opportunity either for you to become indignant or for you to be sensitive back. In other words, when you react with indignance, do you feel, does that amplify sensitivity in you and in the world in the positive sense that you're using the word sensitivity? Does your indignance help you be more sensitive?
No, and in fact, I was reflecting on that this morning in the earlier Heart Start call, and then in this one, I was watching myself, because it happened this morning, just before I got on the Heart Start call, and I was watching myself and noticing that very thing, that I was doing exactly what I was being indignant about, insensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It will always be that way. What creates our greatest reactions is not what others do or what happens in the world, but how we respond in misalignment to what matters to us. how we betray our own love and value. And so this compost list is a list of opportunities to take the power where power really lies, which is within our own response to life. So, Holly, next to, in your list, next to the word indignance, you could write sensitivity, which is both what you value in the situation, what you love. It's the love behind your reaction, right? We wouldn't react unless something we loved was in jeopardy. The problem is we're defending our love with the vehemence with which we would defend our bodies in a physical threat. And that puts us in survival defense rather than love, and separates us from the love itself. So the hinge point of evolution for us as individuals and as a species is to recognize that behind every reaction is the desire for creation of love. And that once we can identify the love that we want to create, that we want to amplify, that we want to make more real with our focus, with our attention, with our love, we can then choose to feed that rather than react in defense and fear. Does that make sense to you, Holly, since you've been our guinea pig here?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And at the same time, there's another part of me that is saying, I'm just going to say it. There's another part of me saying, but if I don't say something, then he's going to get away with something. So even though I get what you're saying, but another part of me is resisting hearing and doing what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, so for you, does sensitivity imply that you wouldn't say something?
Maybe it does. Maybe,
It sounds like you have a predetermined script, a boxed-in, conditioned idea of what sensitivity is, rather than really being sensitivity and authoring your life from that value. In this moment, if you were to focus your attention in your heart, to breathe in through your heart and out through your heart, to breathe sensitivity in through your heart and out through your heart, to replace the attention you've invested in indignation, which makes that wave a particle in your reality, which makes indignation, which is always latent as possibility for any of us, what precipitates into experience and mirrors back to you, I'm sure. When you become indignant with your husband, doesn't he get indignant back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So there's the mirror. There's what you create. So that would live on the website, being the source of indignation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Many of us could author that book and have done it many times. In this moment, if you could simply, the same attention and energy that you're investing in righteous indignation, breathe that into your value of sensitivity. Your husband's not even on this call right now, so it's safe to at least try it out here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so to breathe in through your heart and out through your heart, perhaps even using a Buddhist technique called Tonglen, where rather than denying indignation, regarding the energy you've invested there and breathing the indignation into your heart. This is a technique called sending and taking, is the translation of the Tibetan Tonglen practice, sending and taking, breathing in, taking in the energy you've invested in indignation into your heart. It's counterintuitive because we think, I want to spew the indignation out there to control the plot line. I want to rewrite his script line, not mine. Right, Ali?
Yeah.
But that's the plot, and you change the plot by altering your character, not his. By breathing in deeply your indignation, taking that energy back into yourself, reeling it in like a fishing line of value and resource you've cast out. And now you hook a new bait on the end of that fishing line in your heart. You send out, this is the sending part of the sending and taking, sensitivity towards yourself and him. If he's not being sensitive towards you, then you be sensitive towards you. Be the source of that expression of love. Breathe out sensitivity towards yourself and others. And do it again. Breathe in your indignation. Take the energy, and all of you listening to the call could pick one thing from your compost list and identify the love behind it, as Holly has identified her love of sensitivity behind her indignation. And breathe in where your reaction has been invested. Take that compost energy in and begin to transform it in the heart. Rearrange those letters into creation of what you want to see in the world. So, Holly, breathe out sensitivity and take in all the energy you've invested in that indignation and breathe out with it sensitivity. Well, for me, I'm breathing in disrespect and disregard of my value. And breathing out respect. This is taking in what you see is chaotic or compromising your love and value in the world and sending out into the world what matters to you. This is being the source of love and transforming the raw material energy that makes up everything. Everything is equalized here. It's the form of energy things take that's dictated by your attention. So, Holly, as you breathe in your indignation and transform it to sensitivity, what's your spontaneous response to something your husband says? As sensitivity in this moment, just say the first thing that comes to you from an exhale of sensitivity.
Speak my truth in love.
Now that's very different than castigating him and making sure that you're his vigilante guard that scrutinizes his every move and makes sure he doesn't get away with something, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And at the same time, not withdrawing from it and burying my own feelings about it, which that's the other side of it. If I don't say something, I bury it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is speaking it in love, putting it out there, but in love. Yeah. And that feels very peaceful to me.
Beautiful. And is peace something you love?
Yes.
So we could trade in so many words for being the source of love, being the source of peace, being the source of connection, being the source of sensitivity. Love is a catch-all phrase that encompasses the facets of the diamond of what matters to you, of your values. So thank you for role modeling that, Holly. What I'd like to do is give each of you on the call the space to be with your compost list, to inquire for yourself as Holly did. What is it you love that even evoked such reaction? Because if you didn't care at all, there'd be no reaction. And just as Holly mirrored, to breathe in through your heart the energy that's been invested in reactivity, and breathe out through your heart a new creativity, creating what it is that you love. And just as Holly, now you get to hear my cat that I love. Just as Holly listened to her intuition and discovered, oh, that my preconceived notion, my mental idea of how love would respond, which is not to say anything and to let someone get away with making me a doormat. That's a mental concept, a mental idea of what love is. It isn't love. Love always values you. Love always responds in a way that honors you. Where both indignation and violence back, as well as suppression and withdrawal, do not. But that sweet spot eye of the needle that is being the source of love honors you and the situation and evolves everything to a new level. So Holly, thank you so much for role modeling that so beautifully.
Thank you for that opportunity.
So just as Holly role modeled that, listen for your own response, not your preconceived mental idea of what your values and loves mean. That's not actually authoring your own life. That's mechanically living out an idea, a handed down, conditioned concept of what love is. But being the source of love and authoring your own life from that is actually first activating whatever frequency core value you hold dear within you and responding from that spontaneously. That's being the source of love. So as you, each of you, is engaged in this process that Holly role modeled for you, breathing in the energy you've invested in your reaction, transforming it into your creation of what you value and love in your heart, broadcasting that as you breathe out. Notice your response, as Holly surprised herself with hers. Listen for your intuition, as HeartMath shows us this transformation gives us access to. And write down any guidance, insight, or new response you find yourself in as you step into this being, the source of what you love and value. Now, this may seem like a small act, imperceptible to anyone walking by the room you're sitting in. But it's not small, because you're working at the level of cause, at the level of creation, where the plot line of your life and the world is created. So in fact, this seemingly small move can change the entire course of your year. As you invest your attention and energy in what you value and love, and transform or harness the resources where you've invested energy and attention elsewhere, in what you love. This, as if by magic, though explained by quantum physics, completely changes the outcome of, in Holly's example, her marriage. Your marriage to all that is, your life. Being the source of love is being married, being wed to a love affair with all that is in everything that happens. So listen from this, what a dear friend Lazarus would call resonance causation, where you're at cause for experience through the resonance you are being. Listen for any other guidance or intuition from your heart as you step into this new time. And let's open the lines for anything any of you would like to share, because your guidance and insight is not just your own when it's sourced from love. Your guidance and insight becomes a book you author, the wisdom you bring to the world, and we are the world ready to receive that from you, to benefit from it, and to live into it by your example. So shall we return now to our round robin and hear from you what has come, what has grown out of this compost pile you've planted the seeds of love in? Who would like to share?
Shava, it's Lola.
Hey, Lola.
In my compost pile is the unworthiness that I have really been, it's been popping up a lot lately, and it's really uncomfortable, and I get frantic. I go into survival. I strive. I get driven. And so what comes out of this is the core value for me is worthiness and regarding everyone with worth and being at ease with myself. The ease with myself feels like the place that's the resonance of my being that I want to create so that I have this peace and ease inside, and that emanates.
Beautiful. Why don't we all amplify that from Lola and for Lola? A breathing worth. Look at the beautiful value and worth you're sharing with us now, Lola.
Yes, Lola.
Thanks.
Letting that rest as being at ease with our intrinsic value, which is so clear when we're the source of love. We don't have to frenetically chase through ambitious drive some sense of meaning in our lives. It lies right here in us all along. And we can rest in that. You don't see flowers in the garden chasing value. They're not running to catch the bus to work. They simply sit there and grow. Our greatest nourishment to ourselves and the world is our capacity to sit here and grow. Just like true food. And I want to highlight, Lola, that you like Holly, found peace at the core of love.
Yes.
So there's no question, this is a method, this is a way of becoming a true peacemaker in the world. And as many of you know, we do this work with girls from conflict zones, girls in Israel and Palestine, learning this skill together. Becoming friends as they were enemies, replacing the story of enemy with the story of friendship. So thank you so much, Lola, for your contribution to that work and this work. Anything else you want to add, Lola?
No, that was great. That's so wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling just to be in that resonance. It is very peaceful, and it's easy.
Yes, don't you wish this was like a required course in kindergarten?
Yeah.
Yes.
How foundational to everything else. How much easier reading, writing, and arithmetic would be if we were being the source of love as we learned those other things. So who else would like to share?
Hi, this is Carol.
Hey, Carol.
Hi. Looking at my list, I came up with a theme for the year, kind of looking at all of the creations of love and putting them all together. And what my heart told me was loving kindness.
As you were saying that, Carol, and I have inside knowledge that Carol is a painter and does beautiful mandalas at times, I had this flash of a brightly colored, sort of warm-colored reds with turquoises and peachy pinks mandala that you could create for your loving-kindness year.
Yeah, definitely.
You'll have to send us a picture of it.
Okay. I will. Thanks.
Beautiful. Thank you. Anyone else like to share?
The trail today led to stillness.
Let's amplify stillness and loving kindness together by breathing those qualities in this sending and taking practice, taking whatever we're feeling right now, breathing that in and breathing out to Carol, loving kindness, breathing out to Tina, stillness. Thank you so much, Tina.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to share?
Yes, this is Sharon. And I love this process, Sheva.
It
is just divine. It's beautiful. And when I use it and when I do it, I find that my whole inner world changes. And I am free. I move into immense coherence in all my thoughts and everything that I do. And, you know, as we change our inner world, we're changing the outer world. And if we all do this, we will change the world. But I love it. And on my compost pile, I had some things about some projects I'm working on. And I began to get an order of how I should proceed and do these things. Where I had confusion and a little bit of chaos around them, they just opened up and became clear, and I understood, and all my values of higher mind, higher thinking, order, I can do this, all came in with such a beautiful lightness and clarity. And I've used this process before, and I love that you're talking about core values. I just have to tell you that. I just get thrilled inside and just jumping up and down.
So I'm hearing core values are one of your core values.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I just love hearing you guys talk about this because, as I said, the whole purpose of this is not that I'm well, it's for you to author your wisdom and your life into the world.
Right.
So it's beautiful to hear you speak because each one of you becomes a teaching, a living teaching, and you're living as the source of love. And then the teacher here isn't me. It's the collective heart as you author your own lives from what really matters to you.
Yes. Yes.
So beautiful. And if anyone listening to this archival call would like more information about that journey and support in it, you can reach us at beingthesourceoflove.com, and you can also reach us at 310-428-2714. Thank you so much, Sharon, for that sharing. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
I want to definitely be a part of this as you talk about the using the core values and being a source of love, because I was talking with my husband yesterday and we were talking about our goals. And the goal that just imprinted on my heart so much that I wanted for this year is to learn to live in love.
I guess this is good timing then.
Yes, perfect, yes. Mm. Thank you.
Or better said, the cosmic mirror reflected you instantly.
There you go.
You created us here, Sharon.
Uh-oh.
And how beautiful to hear the uh-oh, which sounds just like my goddaughter Phoenix. Kansas and Elaine, are you still there? Mm-hmm. You remember when Phoenix was 2 or 3 years old, she went through an uh-oh stage. And that is often our first response to recognizing our level of power and responsibility in creating our experience and world. Uh-oh, wow, that's daunting, right?
Right.
And you can take that feeling of being daunted and transform it in your heart, Sharon, into what?
Love.
It could even be a relief.
It is a release. It's a freedom. And it's power and it's energy.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sharon. Is there anything anyone else would like to share?
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Yes,
thank you, Carl.
You.
You know, we happen to be recording this call on New Year's Eve, on a New Year's Eve in time. But in being the source of love is, of course, timeless. It transcends time and space. And every moment that you choose to be the source of love becomes the launch of a new time, of a new expression in the world, of new.
Uh-oh.
Of a new world, of a new year. You like that one, Halala?
Oh, I heard Carl say, uh-oh.
I've been using that since Kansas was, Phoenix was two. When I visited, I used that. I've adopted that as my phrase instead of four-letter words.
Yes, Carl and I were there visiting Phoenix together in the uh-oh phase.
That's great.
So uh-oh can be that inner soundtrack cue to know it's time to be the source of love. I love that, and I love you all so much, each one of you here. Thank you for coming and planting these seeds of love for our new year and new world. Anyone else have anything you'd like to share before we sign off for this day?
Just a big, big thank you to all.
Yes, gratitude is the expression of being the source of love. Mm-hmm. If we could live in gratitude to everything, we would be there. But that's mastery, and I'm not there yet, but I am learning and growing with all of you as we master that together with these skills, tools, and beautiful science. So again, anyone who would like more information about that can contact us through beingthesourceoflove.com or 310-428-2714. And our program of heart ambassadors, as none of you are. All right,
everyone.
Thank you so much for being here. Happy new.
Happy new. Happy.
Yes. Every moment.
New time and space.
Lots of love, everyone, and I'll be speaking with you in the days ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Love to
lots
all.
Of love and big hugs. Bye, everyone.
Bye.